Can you describe Durban, the paradise, and its people to someone who hasn't yet read it?
Well, it's essentially a coffee table book. It's very visual. It's picture heavy, probably about a 20% text ratio. But what it really is just it's a kind of like a tourism guide to the city. But whereas most tourism guides are specifically for people who don't live in the place, so there's a tourism guide for people who live in Durban and for those who don't live here. And I like to think of it as a conduit into the experience of living in Durban, and the shortcut to find all those secret places that normally take a long time.
What was the motivation behind the writing of the book?
I approached the city's communication department to propose a book on Durban design, like the broad spectrum from like bus design to graphic designers. And with Santa Angamutu, who was head of communications at the time, asked me to do a book on Durban, the whole city. There were some bits that had to be in that were like about the city's economic approaches and various projects, but we also decided just to put a like strong cultural focus on the book.
And if a visitor picks up the book, what impression do you think they'll get of the city?
When the visitor's ready here?
Yeah.
I think they'll get an impression of a city that is very edgy and exciting, but not spectacular in the sense that like Cape Town might be, just full of kind of more like small interesting things. And also apparently it does make it look like an exciting and kind of vaguely exotic place.
You focused on art and design for part of this book. Do you think Durban has produced a specific cultural landscape? And if yes, why?
I think yes and no. I think there is a kind of specific cultural landscape, but that specific cultural landscape is actually so fragmented and so collective that it's hard to determine what the specific thing is that makes like Durban creativity specifically Durban. But there is a thing that a kind of strain of maybe style or eclecticism that runs through it.
Okay.
But I think the real defining feature of Durban is a kind of fragmentedness and a constant refusion of things that are breaking down and rejoining.
Obviously, as this is a literary tourism podcast, are you planning to feature literary tourism or literature as such in the next edition of the book?
Yeah, you know, a few people have told me things that are missing from the book. Caroline Smart. Suggested like that there should be a plant section, a flora section, and I think she's completely right.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it. But as we were finishing the book, I realized that I actually had made a massive omission by not including literature. There should have been a literature chapter.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for it. So next time, in the next edition, there definitely will be
cool.
A chapter looking at writing.
Obviously, this book is specifically about Durban. But how does the sense of place, and in particular the city, influence your other writing?
Well, apart from the fact that I often write about things that take place in Durban, I mean, that's kind of obvious thing. I mean, the city, when I think about my creative focus in terms of maybe like artistically, certainly in terms of writing, I think Durban is my like site of creativity, like place. If you walk through town, if you just go for a walk through town, that's always going to be an inspiring like experience that makes you want to do things and take photographs and write stories. Then I've got this novel in my head that I want to write one day. I've started writing it like about 5 years ago. Like the first 2 pages are brilliant, but they're only 2 pages. But it's about a man and a woman who like start off in Cape Town. They like have a relationship and they travel across the country and they end up in Durban. And for me, it would be very important that they ended up in Durban.
A tourist has got a day to spend in Durban. How would you tell him to spend it?
One day.
One day in Durban.
Then you go down to Battery Beach, which isn't... It's been a bit overtaken by Suncoast at the moment, but, like, there's still a bit of... you can still feel a sense of, like, the isolation. Start at Battery Beach, have a swim at Battery Beach, then maybe go have, like, a traditional curry breakfast. I think that's only my tradition, but go have curry, like a little Gujarat in Grey Street or maybe Rishik's in Mango Beach Centre. And then I go walk around Grey Street. I think it's worth devoting a good hour or two. maybe go to the Durban Art Gallery, have curry lunch somewhere in the center of town. And I think the important thing about like traveling through Durban is to really like find all the like the small spaces in the back alleys. But I would carry on, maybe I'd leave the center of town and go to Cato Manor to see the kind of contrast and walk around Cato Manor for a little while. Maybe like from Cato Manor you can drive up through like the middle class area of Glenwood, and maybe maybe drive up one of the ring roads and maybe like have a look at Umlazi or Kwamashu, and end up in Sparks Road for supper, like a curry supper, like somewhere in Sparks Road. But I mean, I think that's just one permutation there. You could have lots of many days. That would just be my like ideal route.